Welcome back to another episode of RMLD's Current Insights. This is a session where we basically delve into a variety of topics that would be relevant to you, the customers that we serve here at RMLD, Reading Municipal Light. And of course, our goal and intention is to serve the communities with reliable, low-cost, non-carbon energy. That's our mission statement. My name is Greg Phipps. I'm the general manager, and I'm joined by the executive producer, Julie Blakely. Julie. And we are joined by a special guest today. And we've so this guest does not work at RMLD, but his name is Noel Chambers. He's with Energy New England, but he does a lot to support the activities that we do here at RMLD to support you, our customer, and our audience. So, Noel, welcome. Glad you're here.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate it. Yeah, glad to be here as well.
So we these little half-hour sessions go very quickly, but you know it's always helpful for our audience to get an idea of who we're talking to today. So just a couple sentences, Noel. Who are you?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that could get pretty expansive. I'm glad you constrained it to two sentences. But yeah. So Noel Chambers, I'm the director of energy efficiency and electrification here at Energy New England. I've spent probably since graduating with a mechanical engineering degree from the University of Rhode Island in 2009, I've spent the better part of that either working with or for utilities in the New England region.
And you realize that it's electric utilities, right, Mr. Mechie?
Both electric and gas utilities, yeah.
But that's right.
No, yeah. Mechanical engineering, so did a lot of heat transfer work. Doing load calculations, thermal transfer stuff to do with industrial processes, and then progressed from there to helping to manage programs with Eversource, so help to run their small business program, then shifted into a different role over there to help manage and design some of the larger commercial industrial programs, and then found an opportunity here at Energy New England to help support organizations like Reading and the Reading Municipal Light Plant in their energy efficiency programs, and have just been having a really great time in the municipal space since then.
Well, I can speak from direct experience that Noel's done a great job in terms of helping our whole organization in our intention and our success in terms of helping our customers. Noel, just tell us a little bit about some of the things. So, Energy New England does a lot of things with RMLD. There's a tight relationship, but just from your seat, kind of go over some of the main things you guys do to help us help our customers.
Yeah, I think that's a really great question. So, Energy New England, in large part, our main role in working with Reading Municipal Light Plant is to help really help manage the home energy assessment program. So really what that entails, basically soup to nuts. So helping to develop marketing pieces in partnership with the RMLD staff. We've got a small call center here, so we're managing customer interactions with your customers. So answering general questions about who, what, where, when, why, what the benefits are, and then getting into the nitty-gritties of what dates are available, what dates aren't. Would you like an in-person, a virtual assessment? Really trying to make sure, customer care, customer excellence is really our number one priority. We also help to support Reading in doing the solar program. We help to manage the rebate process there. So working with your staff internally, as well as contractors who work in the area to make sure that we're doing the appropriate due diligence on behalf of Reading to make sure that customers are getting the right systems installed. They're going to get the right incentive payments, and just, helping to bring the knowledge of the industry best practices. And ensure that everything that we're doing collectively as a whole, not just as E&E, but Reading and E&E in a partnership, that we're really driving to be at the cutting edge of what's going on in the industry.
Nolan, in the context of keeping things informal and casual, and that's great. Speaking of solar, I've got a couple of letters that I got to drop off at your office later on this week. So I'm sorry. I just got to ask to know that we're informal here. So let's jump. Let's be a little more professional. I had to do that. Back to the home energy assessment stuff. For the benefit of our customers, we try and do a good job of educating. But just as a kind of a high level overview, why would somebody do a home energy assessment? Kind of the big picture of what the program that you guys do on our behalf for our customers, big picture what it entails, but why bother?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's also a really great point. Everyone's always got so much going on in their day-to-day life. It's why are you going to take an extra 90 minutes to 2 hours of your life to be at home for someone to be able to come and walk through? And in large part, it's the opportunity to take that extra step to learn about what's going on inside your house.
Exactly.
Energy costs in the supply constrained region that we live in, New England, the likelihood is they're not going to be decreasing in the foreseeable future. So it's a great opportunity to just have someone who's got years of experience in the residential landscape and walking through, at least for some of our auditors, potentially approaching tens of thousands of homes at this point in time,
that's a good point.
And just give you their perspective. So really going soup to nuts, attic to basement, A to Z, really encompassing everything within reason that's either structurally important to your house. So trying to ascertain, how much insulation is your walls, how much insulation's in your attic, what type of
window
framing do you have? Is it stick frame? Is it, are you, concrete masonry units, cinder blocks? Sure. How is your house built? What type of weatherization, insulation, air sealing is already done to it? How is it heated? How is it cooled? What type of major appliances do you have? Making sure that's all documented really well, and then offering recommendations on not necessarily that recommendations you have to heed at that moment, that it's life or death, you have to do it right now, but to help you develop a plan, a course of action you can take over many years to incrementally chip away at those items, knowing that things aren't necessarily inexpensive, and some measures can be as simple as replacing a faucet aerator. That's a 60-cent item, but the whole way up to, potentially adding heat pumps into a home that's got steam baseboard or something like that, and that can be fairly expensive.
So the output of these reports, so somebody actually comes in, we have a virtual option and then there's an in-person option, but it's basically to help a customer understand where energy is being used in their home in terms of, and the metric is kilowatt hours, and then how that, that usage times whatever the rates are that month is what the monthly bill looks like. And so the idea behind an energy audit is, how do I do a better job of optimizing my KWH or my energy use? And I think the nice thing of the program that you guys do on our behalf is for the customers, the recommendations that come out, right? And that, they're organized and segmented, and there's a variety of them. Some of them are very inexpensive. Some of them are capital investments. Some of them are behavioral changes. But, yeah, it's a good program and the benefit. So on that note, is this something we do every month for a house, or what's the frequency of home energy audits?
Yeah, that's a great question to ask. It's not, it is definitely not a monthly task, right? But it's also not really once a decade, right? So you should really look at it as maybe every 3 to 5 years, that type of a frequency.
Good, okay.
Not necessarily that things are changing in your house that rapidly, once you've insulated, you've insulated.
Right, yep.
But it's the opportunity to understand what's changed in the ecosystem, in the marketplace.
Good point.
What new technologies are available, maybe what new methodologies of doing work. So if, for instance, insulating a wall that has a brick exterior, typically that requires pulling off the interior wall and using something like a spray foam to go in there and insulate it, because you've got to be very concerned about moisture and where is that all going to be going and all those the aspects of just how the home breathes as a living, effectively a li living organism. So it's the understanding of how different methodologies, different install techniques change over time. So something that might not have been an available item or an available measure 5 years ago might be something that is now starting to become more of a commonplace
Or affordable.
technique or opportunity. So it's that ability to understand, well, it might not have been a thing then, it is something now, and the opportunity might present itself, as I think Greg, you rightly alluded to, as the opportunity to make a financial investment to help have a longer term financial savings. So it's not, and the way you always have to think about these types of projects, it's not necessarily what my fixed cost is at today's rate. You have to look at it
Good
with the
point.
costs increasing, with 3 to 5% appreciated costs over time, and what would my costs otherwise have been if I didn't do this?
Exactly right.
And
It
if
compounds.
you're
If you don't take
concerned about
action,
carbon and those types of things, it's here's what my carbon savings are going to be if I do it today. Here's how many tons of carbon I'll save over what would be considered the measure of the life or the lifetime measure.
So it sounds like, Noel, just the basic message is, you can't fix something where you don't know the problem is. And so this is the energy audit is to give the customer ideas of where to look, et cetera. And I'm gonna ask you a question in a minute. Just kind of, you started talking a little bit about, insulation, for example. But, I know you guys have the audits organized in different categories. So I want you to, in a moment, just kind of walk us through the different categories that that the audit system is designed to do. But you made an interesting point before you answer that question in terms of what are the big components of the audit, in terms of the systems I'm trying to think about. But you made a point that the house is a breathing entity, right? And so one of the things that you'll talk about in a minute is air sealing. So there's a balance in terms of you want to minimize air back and forth for people to understand, but it still needs to breathe a bit and it goes back to moisture. So when you think about something as simple, I shouldn't say as simple as a house. A house looks simple, right? Because the walls typically don't move. Hopefully the doors open and close properly. But there's a lot to a house. So on that note, kind of walk our audience through, kind of the big blocks or the big systems that you guys, that the audit team takes a look at, just as an educational point. Yeah, go ahead.
So, I mean, the biggest item that we're going to be looking at is the physical structure itself.
Good.
That's sort of
The shell.
item number. Yeah, the shell. So your walls, your roof, your window, your attic, your basement, just sort of all the penetrations, openings. What are all of those things? How many square feet does it entail? How big is your structure, your residence, your business? And then start to plug all those values into our auditing software called SnugPro, which, by the by, as we're starting to think about the IRA, the federal IRA coming through with the HER and HERE state incentive programs, SnugPro is one of the federally authorized audit softwares. So anybody who does participate in the Reading audit program, provided you can save 20%, the report shows that you can save 20% of your energy consumption, you are actually eligible to take advantage of the federal IRA incentives. So just as an extra little nugget of information to
Interesting.
throw out to your customers there. But yeah, so we're really starting from the sort of the really big item from the perspective. So what is the building itself? What constitutes it? So it's trying to determine the insulation levels in the areas we can and can't see, trying to make sure we understand what type of work, if the customer's been there for a long time,
Oh, good
have they
point.
done stuff? Haven't they done stuff? Is it a new homeowner? Do they have any records from the previous homeowner? It is a little bit of a detective
It
investigation
is,
type process, but then we're going to look at how do you heat and cool your home. So are is a customer potentially, do they have a furnace? Is it a forced hot water boiler? Is it steam? Is it natural gas, oil, propane? Is it all electric? What's your hot water source? Is it a tank? Is it sort of like an indirect
Indirect, yeah.
off of your boiler? So a number of those things from a sort of big ticket mechanical things. And then we start getting into the individual appliances. So, washers and dryers,
Refrigerator. Yeah,
refrigerators.
right.
Do you have EV charging? Might your home be a candidate for solar? So it'll be sort of put some of those recommendations out there, but it does sort of go through each one of those big ticket items has its own section in the report to give you some understanding about sort of what's existing in your home, what some of the potential upgrades are, and then why those might be important for you to upgrade. And it does also include some health and safety items if our
Good point.
auditors note
Yep.
that, they might have noticed black mold or something like that in your home. So they will actually make a note of that. Not that that's necessarily a bad thing. A lot of homes have mold there, but it is something you should think about addressing. But it's, we're not out there as, environmental health and safety auditors doing,
It's a side benefit. Yeah. Focuses on the energy.
It's
Yeah.
something that
Yeah.
our guys have seen enough homes and businesses that they can recognize other issues that are existent in a home and sort of make those recommendations to a homeowner. In fact, to the point where one of our auditors, actually a couple of times, has actually recognized that the PVC tubing coming out of boilers, the exhaust side, has actually melted and has actually
Interesting.
been
Yeah.
putting CO
Into
and
the.
combustion gases into the home and has gotten the homeowner to evacuate,
Wow.
call the fire department, get it shut off, and then call a company to come in and actually get it fixed. So there are not
Safety.
that
Yep.
that's a perk or a benefit. It just happens to be something that we've found sort of in essence by accident
Yeah.
when we've been going around and looking at customers' mechanical equipment because something was installed improperly, but it is sort of one of those
It's important
extra things
that most
that you
people
sort
don't
of
pay
end up
attention to.
Yep.
You mentioned a couple of things, Noel. One of them is that the audit program is for residentials, for homes, residentials, but also for commercial industrial, for businesses. And so, just as a reminder to our customers, the audit program is for all of our individual customers. And depending upon when you get to the commercial industrial, depending upon what it is. We have special requirements to do those because it's a different kind of an auditor, but we do have those. That's one important point for our audience. The second thing you mentioned, Joel, is you mentioned heating and cooling. And when people think about energy audits, hey, it's to keep my heating bill down. Well, as you noted, right, it's also about cooling because in reality, well, certainly for electricity, the summer months are the higher usage months when we talk about air conditioning. So I'm glad you reminded us that it's heating and cooling. With these audit programs, somebody's going to come in and do their best to look and evaluate and make recommendations. But the homeowner or the business owner can help, right? So kind of walk through some of the things that the owner can do ahead of time to help make that audit valuable and comprehensive. Preparation from a customer perspective.
Yeah, so preparation from a customer perspective, one of the big things, at least for us, and this isn't necessarily from a customer benefit, it's more from a safety perspective. It's if you do have pets,
Oh, yes.
we love pets. All of our auditors do actually really enjoy pets. We have unfortunately had a couple of incidences over the years. It's just if you have pets, please put them in a bathroom in a crate. Otherwise, where an auditor or one of our auditors won't be, just for everyone's safety.
Yeah.
It's an unknown person coming into your home. It's just one of those sort of safety aspects. But sort of getting that safety moment out of the way.
Always important.
I mean,
Yep.
homeowners, really one of the big things is. If you are not 100% electric, is having some type of statement showing your other fuel usage.
Usage, yep.
So if you have oil deliveries, if possible, if we could get
History.
last year's sort of 12 months worth of oil deliveries, that'd be great. It just so really Propane, same thing. If you have natural gas from National Grid, if you could give us the most recent bill for that, we can take a picture of it, what have you. But really, what it does is we're then able to plug that information in to Snug Pro, and it's able to annualize that information based upon the models that it has in the back end. And it really helps to improve the accuracy of what it thinks your home is and how the energy use gets distributed. And really, it's working in the back end to try to true it up to what your actual energy consumption is. So the more information, the more relevant information that we have, the better and more accurate that model is going to be.
So you mentioned, sorry, you
Oh, okay.
mentioned earlier the report that Snug Pro generates, and I've seen them. They're very thorough. They give, line by line, items you can improve and potential savings. So just two parts here. If you could just talk a little more about that report, and then one question that I had, does that report, is it instantly generated, or is it something people get like a few days later?
So two really good questions there. And maybe I'll start with the second part first, and then we can talk about the first part second to make it a little confusing for everybody. So there's really two aspects. So our auditors are walking around with an iPad, and as they're going through your home, they're plugging the information in. So in theory, at the end of the audit, they can actually sit down with you at your dining table and effectively walk you through the recommendations, so you have an opportunity to have a dialogue with the auditor while they're sitting there with you in your own home to talk about, and potentially for you to go back to that place where they saw that issue or have that recommendation, and for you to both talk about it and understand maybe what a game plan might be. Otherwise, maybe a couple days later, you'll get a PDF copy emailed to you. If you don't have an email address, we are more than happy to print it out, put it in a manila envelope, and mail it to you, which we do on not on an irregular basis. So we're happy to meet the customers where they're at. If they need paper, we're happy to do that. But from a what does an audit report contain? It's a fairly hefty document, Julie. I think you just implied that as well. So each section is somewhere between half a page and a page long, depending on sort of how many sub-recommendations end up getting contained in it. It's trying to give you an accurate or a good understanding of what some potential costs are, what the benefits are, sort of just giving you a good explanation of everything in there. I'd say most reports end up being somewhere between 10 and 20 pages, depending on how big or complex your home is. One of the, or sort of the two, I think, really important pages, beyond the recommendations, general ideas there. There's one page which details the savings to investment ratio, otherwise shortened as SIR. So it's basically every recommendation for the home, and then what it's, and then I think it's typically ranked on what its savings to investment ratio is. So in effect, how much is this measure going to cost? How much is it going to save over its perceived lifetime? So something like a heat pump has a 15-year measure life. Weatherization, insulating your building, air sealing it has 20 to 25-year measure life. So the software is trying to compute what it thinks your savings over that 15, 20, 25-year measure life is going to be. And it's basically going to say, oh, if you have to spend $4,000 to $5,000 today to weatherize, to insulate and air seal your home, what then is your savings going to be over the course of that 20 to 25 years? What's the ratio? What's the savings to savings ratio? And that, in effect, is what your savings to investment ratio is. Just trying to help you better understand how might I prioritize these measures to sort of tackle sort of super low cost, really high savings measures. In other words, low hanging fruit. It's like chip those away. And then when you start getting into those bigger ticket items that, you might need to put either think about taking out a personal loan for, maybe doing home equity, or just needing a bigger pool of funds, something that might get into the $20,000 to $40,000 range, potentially for a heat pump project, if you've got, depending on complexity values there, So it'll help you do rank basing there. And then one of the other pages that I think is actually really interesting to have included in the reports is the Massachusetts Home Energy Scorecard.
All right,
So
yeah.
in a way, this is kind of, if you have ever been part of or lived in an investor-owned utility area, you'll typically get a letter that say, hey, over the last quarter, this is how you compare to your neighbors. And you always look at that and you go, there's no way that this is relevant to me or my neighbors. So in some aspects, it's a little bit like that, and I'm not going to lie. But what it is the state of Massachusetts did a survey, I want to say, of a couple of thousand homes and compiled all the information and effectively developed what they called the Massachusetts Home Energy Scorecard. So based upon the values of energy consumption that you provide to us, so between your RMLD electric consumption, and then if you've got delivered fuels, what those are, or if you have natural gas, what those are, sort of that all-in energy use of your home, it basically ranks it saying this is where you're at today. And then if you implement all of these measures, this is where you're going to be. And then on that same page, it also shows you your carbon intensity today, and then what your carbon intensity after you've done, if you implement everything, what it could be. So it does really try to give you a good understanding of not necessarily in trying to compare you to sort of homes within a 2-3 mile radius that are
But to your
within a
own
couple
home,
hundred square
right?
feet of
If you were
yours.
to make
It's but it's
changes to it.
saying across all homes in Massachusetts, here's roughly what your home energy scorecard looks like to give you an idea of like, am I, in the 75th percentile? Am I in the 25th percentile? And then how much better could I actually get?
Noel, as I listen to you kind of walk through that detail, it reminds me of a comment you made earlier in terms of what customers can do to prepare. And one of the messages you just said is information, right? So there's some stuff that will automatically, because of the association between your team and our RMLD team, that we'll be able to preload some of the stuff. But when it comes to other energy sources, that's why it becomes very important. So it's a good reminder in terms of to get good output, you've got to have good input. And then obviously the expertise that the auditor brings. I'll do just two quick questions. Any common myths or misconceptions that you think it would be helpful for our customers to not believe, like any things you see over and over again, any misconceptions come up that we just want to help educate our customers that you hear this, but it's not the way it is. Anything that stands out?
I'd say the biggest one that we hear very regularly is heat pumps don't work. And I think that one is the one that just needs to eventually just leave. if you look at it, Maine for a period of time was the highest per capita install rate in the world for heat pumps. Maine's climate is significantly colder without being even that much further north than Massachusetts is. They're exceptionally prevalent all throughout Europe, especially in the Nordic countries. So
Good
all
point.
your Finlands, Norways, Swedens, where again, those are inside the Arctic Circle, gets pretty cold up there.
So the
They
message
are
is
very, very efficient.
heat pumps work. So that's a good
Heat
comment.
pumps
So,
work. And
right.
that's something,
And
sorry, just to build on that, we've added case studies to our website about heat pumps. So it's one thing for us to say that they work, but we hear from customers and, unprovoked by us, like one guy said, it's changed my life. So we are trying to, raise awareness that they do work and they work well. So thank you for bringing that point up. And even just to build on that, heat pumps today are already amazing pieces of technology. But the U.S. Department of Energy is currently pushing manufacturers to make them even better. So that's a little bit of a tease of a, not today, but maybe tomorrow. But in large part, I think there's 12 manufacturers participating with the U.S. Department of Energy. Six of them already have pilot projects or equipment installed in. And if you know anything about climate zones, there's zones 1 through 6 or 7. We're in climate zone 5 up here in New England. So really they're focusing on the climate zones 5, 6, and 7, the coldest climates. And it's actually called the US DOE Cold Heat or Cold Climate Heat Pump Challenge. So in effect, what they're trying to do is push the manufacturers to build equipment that does not lose efficiency as it gets colder outside.
Impressive.
So the goal is to still maintain, I think, at least the COP of 2 when it's 5 degrees outside. And if you know anything about or have seen any of the BIN data for New England, Boston's design day is 8 degrees, and there's only about 100 hours of the year total on average that are less than 10 degrees Fahrenheit. So you're really talking about like 1% of the year. The DOE is pushing these companies to build units to effectively just like let's just completely dispel the idea that they don't work at cold temperatures today, and that the equipment is only going to continue to get
Better and
better
better.
as the Department of Energy is pushing these companies to make them better and better.
And even from a design standpoint, like they have them now that look like picture frames, like that's
Oh
crazy.
yeah. Oh yeah, that's really it.
You
That's cool.
can get them where they slot into your ceiling as cassettes, so they fit between the joists in your ceiling. You can get them as whole homes, just effectively take out the AC condenser, the furnace section of your furnace, and just put the new section in there and run new refrigerant lines with a new compressor outside. So they're doing a lot of work to make it be as
Easy to install or convert.
easy as install and not intrusive into your space. Everyone always thinks about heat pumps as these big 3, 4 foot long, 10, 12 inch tall things hanging off your walls, and it's really not that anymore. And there's a bazillion different options in how you can get it installed in your house so that it just makes it look like anything else but that.
Super. We're gonna wrap up here just a real quick second. Nolan, thank you for helping us. Last question. Just remind our listeners how they can sign up for an energy audit, whether home or commercial, if they're an RMLD customer. So just.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think probably the first place that I'd recommend folks go is RMLD's website. So if you go on there's a little blue banner across the middle of it. And if you go on, I think it's for my residence, there's a couple of drop downs, and you can actually select home energy assessment right there. It'll bring you to a page. And then you can jump right to Energy New England's website and register for a home energy assessment from there. Otherwise, you can email ENE at HEA at ENE.org. So super simple, 9 letters. The website you can go to get more information is ene.org/HEA.
HEA for a
And
home energy audit. Yep, good.
home
Or
energy audit.
assessment.
Yep. And basically there'll be a 5 or 6 page intake survey that we ask you to fill out that feeds directly into our CRMs, so that we can then start triaging the customers and make sure we walk you through the process quickly and appropriately. And from there, we're off to the races.
Noel, we want to say thank you very, very much. Julie and I enjoyed our discussion with you today. And for those customers out there, we were speaking with Noel Chambers of Energy New England, and he is part of the team that supports the work that we do for you, our customers. And today we talked primarily about home energy audits. So, Noel, thank you so very, very much. That's a wrap
Absolutely.
for this
Yeah, thank you for
session,
having me.
and we thank you all for listening and seeing.